1, and this is what I studied on today, and I had another thought seemed like on my mind, and I thought, Lord, are you telling me to go another direction? And this is where I'm going to go. I'm going to do my best to mind the Lord. And you preachers know how it is. If you mess it up, then the devil beats you to death, so you should preach the other one. Amen. But listen, I'm glad for the Word of God. Like me and Brother Thad was talking about before church, Doc Brown used to say, open up your Bibles to anywhere, because it's all good. Amen. And glad for the Word of God. Amen. You know, I'm going to say this as you turn your Bibles. Good to hear them pages flip to Ruth. Amen. Right after the book of Judges, you'll find Ruth. But you know, when we talk about the armor of God, Preacher Cody, there's a lot of defensive things we wear. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. You know it all. Hey, listen, defensive weapons. But I'm glad, Preacher Tim, we've got some offensive weapons. Listen, you hold in your hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad for the sword, brother. Amen. And Preacher Mitch, not only the sword, but you know what else we got? He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication. You know what I call that? The bow and arrow. You can hit somebody a long way off with a bow and arrow, amen. And I'm glad for for prayer, aren't you? And I believe that's a weapon we have, amen. And it's been good this week to see folks on the altar calling on God, getting help from the Lord, amen. If there was ever a time we need to pray, it's now, amen. We need to pray. And listen, if you ain't got nothing to pray about for yourself, you know somebody that could use some prayer. Amen. And listen, so let's pray for one another, as the Bible says, and let's call on God. And listen, I believe Jeremiah 33:3 is still in the book. Preacher Thad, he said, call unto me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now I'm going to say, if you ain't seeing great and mighty things, it might be because we ain't calling on him like we ought to, amen. But I believe he promised, brother, if we'd call on him, he'd answer us, amen. So it's just good to be in the house of God. Ruth chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you love the Lord, say glory. Glory. Amen. Look at verse 1, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. And listen, I want to tell you, every message I try to preach, Brother Benji, it's to encourage, it's to help. It's to be a blessing. And I want you to know, before we preach this, this is to be a help, not only to you, to me. And let's just want to be an encouragement to you. Amen. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn. That's an important word, sojourn. In the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab, and notice this, and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they, notice this, dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. Listen to this, good news. For she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Now, Preacher Mitch, would you ask a blessing on God's word tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the bread. Thank you, Lord. Hey, man, you may be seated tonight. Hey, man, look over at your neighbor on the right. Tell him I'm glad you're here tonight. Tell him I'm glad you're here. Amen. Could have been anywhere in the world on a snowy Tuesday night, but here you are on a padded pew at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church wanting to go to church. Amen. Thank God. If the Lord would help me for just a few moments of time, I want to preach this message tonight, moving to Moab. I want to preach on moving to Moab. And listen, this I told you, this is to encourage you. And I told him the other night when I was preaching the other day, I said, now listen, it may sound bad at first. It may sound a little rough at first, but business is going to pick up, amen. It'll get good in a minute. But first, we've got to realize the facts that, listen, as we consider this talk tonight, Pastor Tim, about moving to Moab. Number one, if you're taking notes, just got four quick things, and we'll get you home before you get a foot of snow, amen. Number one, I want you to consider this, the mistake of Moab. Consider the mistake of Moab. Notice what the Bible said in verse 1. Listen, when the time of famine came, the Bible said a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, this man Elimelech, in the time of the famine, packed his bags and told his wife Naomi, we're moving to Moab. Amen. Have you ever noticed a lot of times in your Christian walk, have you ever noticed a lot of times when things get a little hard, when things get a little rough, when the way's not real clear, listen, when you get a little weary from the battle, when things just ain't going real smooth, and listen, a little hardship comes your way, listen, if we're not careful, we'll be prone to make some bad decisions. Hey, if we're not careful, we'll take our eyes off the Lord and get them on ourselves and think we got to make it happen and we got to work it out and we just got to do this thing. And when the best thing we could do is just wait on the Lord. Amen. But listen, we see the mistake of Moab. They left Bethlehem, Judah, for this place called Moab. This word Bethlehem, I love it. We started a church in about 2008, and we called it Bethlehem Free Will Baptist. So the reason we called it Bethlehem, it means the house of bread. I said, when people come, I want them to find something to eat, amen. I want them to find some bread, amen. Bethlehem means the house of bread, and Judah means celebration. Or we could just say this, it means the land of praise. And so Elimelech took his wife and his two sons during this difficult time, during this time of hardship, this time of struggle, this time of famine. They packed their bags and left the house of bread and the land of praise for this place called Moab. Can I just tell you, Moab represents sin and rebellion in the Word of God. You still with me? Say amen. Hey, young men, listen, this word Moab, it represents sin and rebellion. Listen, it was an idolatrous, sinful nation that had its origin through incestuous relationships. It was a wicked place filled with idolatry. And Elimelech decided within his own self, I'm going to pack my bags and take my family from the house of bread and the land of praise and go down to this place called Moab. Now notice what the book says in verse 1. The Bible said they went to sojourn there. If you write in your Bibles, you can underline that or make a mental note. Brother Cody, Preacher Cody, they went to sojourn there. This word sojourn in the Hebrew is the word gur, and it means to turn aside from the road for a lodging or any other purpose. It means to abide, or it means to dwell. Listen to me. I ain't preaching for the shout tonight, but I am preaching to be a help to you. Praise God. Hey, the Bible said they went to sojourn there. This word sojourn suggests that you're on a journey and you're just turning off the road just for a little lodging, for a little overnight stay, if you will, for a short duration. Oh, I wonder if maybe when Elimelech told his wife and sons, we're leaving Bethlehem, the house of bread, and we're leaving Judah, the land of praise, and we're going down to that sinful, wicked place called Moab, we ain't gonna stay long. We won't be here long. It'll just be a short stay. Oh, we'll just stay just for a short time. It'll just be a little duration. In fact, you don't even got to take everything we got. We're just going to be there for a short little while. Oh, listen, they may have thought that it was going to be temporary. They may have thought it was going to be a short stay. But can I just guarantee you by the word of God, they went the wrong direction. Brother, can I just encourage you young men? Can I encourage you young people? Can I encourage every one of us tonight? Listen, it does not go well. It does not go well when we take matters into our own hands. When we devise our own way, when we devise our own way and we direct our own path, it does not go well. In fact, twice in the Word of God in Proverbs 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16 and 25, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the wise man said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to you, and there's a way that seems right to me, but it only leads to death. Brother, listen, when you devise your own way and direct your own path, it only leads to death. Oh, they went there just to sojourn, just to lodge for a little while, just for a short stay. But brother, I'm telling you, we see here the mistake of Moab. Amen. They left God's people, and they left God's land. They left the place of God's promise to go down to Moab because it just seemed good to them to go that way. The mistake of Moab. But can I tell you, number two, not only the mistake of Moab, but consider the mess of Moab. It's about to get worse. It's fixing to get worse. I see the mess of Moab in verses 2 and 3. The Bible said this man, Elimelech, his wife was Naomi, his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Oh, listen, they came into the country of Moab, and notice this, whoop, they continued there. Notice this, verse 1 said they went to sojourn there. Just a little overnight stay. Just coming off the road for a little lodging. But notice now, in verse 2, the Bible said they continued there. You know what that word means? It means without a break in continuity. It means ongoing. You know what it means? It means they stayed a whole lot longer than what they intended to. They stayed down in Moab a lot longer than they intended to. It may have sounded good. It may have seemed good. They may have thought it was a good idea. But brother, the mistake of Moab turned into the mess of Moab, and their sojourning turned into a continuation, and they stayed a whole lot longer than they intended. What happened, preacher? I'm glad you asked. In verse 3, notice what happened. Elimelech, the husband, the daddy, the spiritual leader, the provider, the head of the house, Elimelech died. He died. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, friend, listen to me, young people. Listen to me, aged people. Listen to me, everybody in between. One decision can dramatically change your life. I said one decision. The day he walked into their house there in Bethlehem, said, you know, we fell on some hard times. Things ain't going as good as they once were. You know what I think we'll do, Naomi? we'll just pack our bags and go down to Moab for just a little while. Well, the sojourning turned into a continuation. And while they stayed there, while they were ongoing there in Moab, guess what? Brother Elimelech died. I don't know how he died. I don't know what happened. I don't know how old he was. But I know one thing, brother. He died in the country of Moab. And I'm telling you, folks, that one decision can forever change our life. Amen. The mess of Moab. But it gets worse. Oh, yeah. It ain't shouting preaching, but it's good preaching. Amen. The mistake of Moab. Taking matters into your own hand. Making decisions without seeking God. Hey, going your own way. The mistake of Moab. It was a mistake to go to Moab. Now the mess of Moab. They just kind of settled in a little longer than what they intended to. And guess what? Elimelech, whoop, ups and dies. But it gets worse. Because notice verses 4 and 5. Oh, the Bible said, listen, she was left of her two sons. And verse 4 said they took them wives of the women of Moab. Listen, Naomi's sons marry Moabitish women. Listen, not only did they journey there, and not only did they get adjusted there, but now, whoop, they have joined up there. They not just journeyed there and got adjusted there. They've joined up there. And brother, they married them women of Moab. And notice what else the Bible says. Not only did they marry these women from this godless nation, but the Bible said they dwelled there about 10 years. Listen, first it was sojourning. Then it was continuing. But now, preacher, they're dwelling there. Preacher Thad, this word dwell is Yalshab, and it means to sit down. It means to dwell, to remain. Brother David, to settle, to marry, to continue, to inhabit. Brother, listen, 10 long years have passed. Oh, they may have just went for a little while. Let's just go down until this bad time passes, till this famine passes by. But brother, 10 years later, they're still living down in Moab. Elimelech is dead, and her two sons have married Moabitish women. Brother, I see the mistake of Moab. I see the mess of Moab. But look here. Now I see the misery of Moab. The misery of Moab, because it's about to get worse. 10 years away from the house of bread. 10 years away from the land of praise. They're living down in a place called Moab. Guess what happens next? The Bible tells us in verse 5. Mahlon and Chilion, her died also, both of them. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, her two sons, her husband Elimelech has died. And now her two sons have died down in Moab. You listen to me, friend, and you listen to me well. The old preacher used to say that sin will always take you further than you want to go. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. Listen, they got comfortable down in Moab, but now three out of her four people in her family have died, and they're buried there in the land of Moab. You listen to me, daddy. Listen to me, mommy. Sons, daughters, hey, mama, papa, the decisions you make, the choices you make don't only affect you, but they affect everybody around you. You hear me saying to God, the decision you make, the choices you make won't just affect your life, but they'll affect everybody's life. Hey, I see the misery of Moab. Amen. Oh, listen, because Elimelech 10 years before said, let's move to Moab, he's dead and buried in Moab. His two sons are dead and buried in Moab. And there is Naomi. She's a widow and she's childless, left there in the land of Moab. Oh, listen. And notice what she does in verse 20. Notice in verse 20 what she does. She said, don't you call me Naomi. Do you know what the name Naomi means in the Hebrew? It means pleasant. It means pleasant. She said, don't you call me pleasant. Don't you call me Naomi. She said, but you call me Mara. And that word Mara means bitter. Bitter. Don't you call me pleasant. You call me bitter. Don't you call me Naomi. You call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Look up here, friend. It's preaching time. It always amazes me that when people make choices and it's time for the consequences, they always want to blame God for the consequences of their own choices. When things don't turn out good, when you leave the house of bread and the land of praise and you're dwelling down in Moab and everything falls apart and the blessings of God ain't coming and everything seems to be horrible, brother, they want to shake their fist in the face of God and blame him for their choices and blame him for their decisions. But brother, I'm telling you, when you leave the will of God, when you leave the place of God, when you leave the blessings of God, the only thing you'll find is misery, the misery of Moab tonight. Amen. Hear me, young people. Hear me, young people. You can't get out. You can't get out of this. You can't get out of the hedge of God's word. You can't get out from the place of God's blessing. You can't get out from the house of bread and the land of praise and find joy and contentment and peace. All you're going to find is a mess and misery, brother, that'll rob you and destroy you. People make some of the, this is a theological term, some of the stupidest decisions. And you know what? I've been there. I've been there. I've done it. You know what the Bible, Peter talked about those who were willingly ignorant. I said, that's just dumb on purpose. I've been dumb on purpose. And I went my own way, did my own thing. And then I suffered the consequences of my choices. And I want to point my finger and blame everybody. And I want to blame God. But brother, I'm telling you, while Naomi is in her place of bitterness and resentment and despair, she wants to blame God. But it was her and her husband that took their family out of the house of bread and the land of praise and brought them down to that sinful, wicked, adulterous place out of the will of God. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, friend, now she is suffering the consequences of her choices. Hey, I see the misery of Moab. That's why, listen, I don't care if you've been saved 1 year or you've been saved 50 years. That's why it's so important to be mindful of the will of God in your life. You remember what Solomon said? He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all of your ways. All means all, and that's all that all means. In all your ways, acknowledge him and whoop, he shall direct thy paths. Brother, when he's doing the driving, you'll have a safe journey. But when you kick him out and get behind the wheel, you're going to wreck, friend. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what Elimelech done. He got behind the wheel and drove his family down to Moab. And now all we see is devastation. Listen, a discouragement and death. Brother, we see the misery of Moab. Oh, it was a time of famine. And instead of trusting God, instead of waiting on God, instead of just looking to God, they took matters into their own hands, said, we got to move. Something got to be done. We'll just go ahead and we'll do this. And oh, 10 years later, what regret. What regret. I know it ain't sound preaching, but this is good preaching. Amen. What regret. What shame. What a reproach. But here's where business is about to pick up. Woo! here's where it's going to get a little gooder right here. Because I see the mistake of Moab. They got out of God's will and went their own way. I see the mess of Moab. Listen, they stayed there longer than what they even intended, and Elimelech has died. And I guarantee you, standing at the grave as a widow with two sons to take care of, she regrets that decision. And now 10 years has gone by, and they've listened. They just got settled in, and they got comfortable. But now, not only has her sons married Moabitish women and took on some of their ways, but listen, her sons are dead, buried next to their daddy in this place, brother, because of one decision that took them out of God's will. Amen. But here's where business picks up. Because I see the mistake of Moab, I see the mess of Moab, I see the misery of Moab, but woo, I see her moving out of Moab. Hey, hold on a second. Good preaching, brother, preach on, amen. I said I see her moving out of Moab. Listen, you may be in Moab tonight. You may have got out of God's will. You may have messed up. You may have took matters in your own hand. You may have forsook his word and just depended on your own wisdom. You may have made a bad flop and now you're regretting it. Hey, can I tell you, you may be in Moab tonight, but you ain't got to stay there. You ain't got to stay there. I said you ain't got to stay there. You can get out of Moab. Amen. Hey, you know the devil will tell you, you really messed it up now, hoss. Man, you really messed up. Everybody knows what you've done. No, your family. Look what you've done to your family. Look at this. What a mess. God won't forgive you. God can't forgive you. But can I remind you, the devil's a liar. And he's the father of it. And you may be in Moab tonight. But thank God you can move out. Thank God moving out of Moab. Amen. You still with me? Say amen. It's about two-thirds of you still with me. Amen. Moving out of Moab. Oh, I love verse 6. Verse 6 is a beautiful verse. Look with me if you will. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. Oh, then she arose. I'll get to that in just a minute. With her daughters-in-law that she might return, I might get to that one too, from the country of Moab, for she heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Woo! Hey, 10 long years they've been down in Moab, away from Bethlehem, the house of bread, and Judah, the land of praise. Her husband's dead. Her sons are dead. She said, don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. For the Lord has dealt with me very bitterly. Her heart's broken. Her spirit's grieved. Her mind is troubled. But somewhere, someone told her some good news. Thank God, aren't you glad for Proverbs 25:25, as a cold drink to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Amen. Like a cold drink to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I don't know about you, but I guarantee I'm not the only one tonight that's glad for some good news. Woo! I said, I'm not the only one. Glad for good news. Oh, aren't you glad for the word of God? Aren't you glad when you're discouraged and you're down and you're distraught and the devil says, I got you where I want you. Aren't you glad that the good news of the word of God can still reach you and bless you and deliver you? Thank God for good news. Amen. Woo! I'm preaching better. Some of you in the back row is acting, amen. I'm talking about good news. Oh, somebody come by her way. Hey, Naomi, ain't you from Bethlehem? Yeah, sure am. Ain't been there in a long time, but you're from there, yeah. You know what I heard the other day? I heard God. You know that Jehovah God they served? I heard that Jehovah has done visited his people and give them some bread. Woo! Amen. Some good news. Aren't you glad for the good news? Oh, listen. Can I just tell you, friend? Listen, you could be in the church a long time and still find yourself in Moab. You can serve in every capacity of the church. You can sing in the choir, play an instrument, teach a Sunday school class, preach the gospel, do everything in the world, mow the yard, clean the toilets, and still find yourself in Moab. You can read the Bible from one end to the other, know every song in the hymn book, amen, show up for every service, and still find yourself in Moab. But oh, can I just tell you, if you happen to be there tonight, you feel like you're far from home. You feel like you've made some bad decisions. You feel like you've trusted in your own wisdom and went your own way. Can I tell you some good news tonight? God's got something better for you. God's got something better for you. I said, God has something better for you. There is good news. Amen. And maybe months from now, years from now, you're just going along, listen, and then all of a sudden you make a decision, you make a bad choice, and you find yourself out of the will of God in Moab. I hope the Holy Ghost will bring this message to your remembrance and say, you remember what that fat big mouth preacher from Indiana told you? That you may have made a bad decision. You may have made a bad choice. You didn't wait on God. You didn't trust in God. You jumped ahead of God. You went without God. Hey, listen, you trusted in your own wisdom and your own devices. And now look what a mess. And while the devil's beating on you and telling you you're done, telling you there's no way out, that God couldn't forgive you and God couldn't love you and God couldn't bless you, you just remind him there's some good news, that God still visits his people and God still got the bread. And I may be in Moab tonight, but honey, by morning, I'm headed out for higher ground. I don't have to stay here. I don't have to stay here. I can move out of Moab. Amen. Good news, friend. She heard some good news. Oh, that God had something better. Look up in here, folks. Look up. I'm hard to miss. Look up here. God's got something better. And I guarantee you, God's got better for you than what you got for yourself. God's got better for you than what the world has for you. God's got better for you, brother, listen, than what the devil has for you. God's got better for you than what you could ever imagine. Oh, she got some good news, that God was visiting his people and giving them bread. And I love what the Bible said. Man, I might tag one of these young men and just have them take a lap for me. Amen. I love what the book said. Listen here in verse 6. Notice what the book said. Preacher Tim, the Bible said, then she arose. Hey, say that with me. Then she arose. Say that. Then she arose. Oh, you know what that word arose means? It is kum in the Hebrew. It means to arise, literally or figuratively. It means to get up. It means to perform, to rouse up, to stand, to strengthen, and to succeed. You know what she did? She arose. Hey, can I just tell you a theological truth? Can I blow your mind with this gem of wisdom? Brother, if you want to get what God has for you, and you want to get where God wants you to be, and you want to get slap dab in the middle of God's will, brother, you got to get up from where you are and get where God is. You got to get up from where you are and get where God is. If you want to get where God is and get what God has for you and be what God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do, you got to get up and get where God is. Amen. She arose. She could have just sat. Remember when the Bible said they continued there? They dwelt there rather. That means to sit right down. She sat down in Moab. 10 years. But you know what the time came? The Bible said she arose. There's a lot of people want blessed by God, but they're going to sit right here. There's a lot of people want God to do something in their life, in their family, in their home, in their marriage, but they're going to sit right here. There's a lot of people want to see God move, but they won't move. Brother James said, if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. You draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. You can't stay where you are and get what God has. You got to get up. You got to arise out of the ashes of Moab and get where God is. Amen. I hope I'm making sense to somebody. I'm talking about getting up. Getting up from where you are. You can't sit in Moab and get the bread. You can't sit in Moab and get the blessing. You can't sit where you are and receive what God has down there in the darkness of Moab. You got to get up. And the Bible said not only did she arise, but the Bible said, listen, that the Bible said she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Oh, listen, this word return, I ain't making this up. I ain't smart enough to. It's the word shub. Shub. It's the word shub in the Hebrew. And this word return, can I give you the definition? Come on. You might as well amen it. I'm going to anyway. Here's what it means. It means to bring again. It means to bring back. It means to bring home again. It means to come again, to come back. It means to recover. It means to refresh. It means to relieve. It means to rescue, to restore. It means to retrieve. Oh, I would to God tonight that somebody would be willing to leave out of Moab, to listen, move out of Moab and return to the house of bread, into the land of praise. I word to God tonight, somebody would just get up and say, I'm going to arise. I'm going to get up and I'm going to return. I'm going to return for the recovery. I'm going to return for the refreshing. I'm going to return for the relief. I'm going to return for the restoration. I'm going to return to receive what God has for me. I'm going back for the blessing. I'm going back for the bread. I'm going back to be what God wants me to be. Oh, what a homecoming. What a story of redemption. Brother, can I just tell you Naomi's decision to rise up and to return to the house of bread in the land of praise didn't just bless her, but it blessed Ruth. Brother, listen, can I tell you, brother, when you get where God wants you to be, sir, ma'am, it won't just bless your life, but it'll bless the life of everybody around you. When you get saved, when you get restored, when you get right with God, when you get back in his will, when you're serving him where you're supposed to serve him, it won't just change your life and bless your life, but it'll bless and change the life of everybody around you. Amen. I wish I could preach it like I feel it. You know what she did? Turn your Bibles, chapter 4. Turn your Bibles, chapter 4. I'm almost done. Don't get nervous. Chapter 1, we see the heartache of bitter loss. You hear me? Chapter 1, we see the heartache of bitter loss. But thank God, by chapter 4, we see the hallelujah of a beautiful love. Woo! Now I know I'm skipping two and three, but I don't think you'll hang with me that long. Amen. So let's just go to chapter 4. And can I just tell you what happened, preacher? When Naomi walked in, said, Ruth, honey, we're going back home. We're going to Bethlehem. I'm tired of Moab and what it's done to me and my family. It's robbed me.
It's devastated me. I'm not staying here another day. I'm going back to God's people. I'm going back to where God is. I'm going back to the blessing. I'm going back to the bread. Oh, thank God. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4. Hallelujah. Look at this. The Bible said, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, notice, not Mara, not Mara, not bitter. She wasn't Mara no more. She wasn't bitter no more. But the Bible said, Naomi, this pleasant one, listen, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Whoop. Someone said, I thought Ruth had that baby. Oh, she did. But they said, this son is born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Oh, I'm telling you, chapter 1 was a chapter of heartache and bitter loss. But I'm telling you, the chapter you may be in tonight don't have to be your last chapter. You don't have to stay in Moab. You can move on out. And brother, chapter 4 is a chapter, oh, the hallelujah of a beautiful love. And she wasn't bitter anymore. She wasn't Mara anymore. But she was pleasant. She was Naomi. And thank God, instead of death, she was celebrating life. And instead of barrenness, she was eating bread. And thank God, instead of devastation, she was in the divine presence of God. And brother, I'm telling you, tonight can be the night that you move out of Moab. Amen. Tonight can be your night. One decision in chapter 1. One decision in chapter 1 brought such devastation. But one other decision brought delight. One decision brought bitterness, but the other one brought a blessing. One decision brought languishing, but another decision brought life. One decision took them out of the will of God, and one decision brought them back into the will of God. Tonight, listen, I'm not asking you, are you saved or not saved? I'm asking you, are you saved tonight? And maybe, just maybe, you're sitting down in Moab. And maybe, just maybe, it's been a long time since you felt the presence of God, and you've been in the place of serving God like you ought to, and being in God's will. Listen, eating the bread from the master's table, and listen, and maybe you made some choices, maybe you made some decisions, and maybe it was the wrong one. You ain't got to live another day in that. Amen. Brother, you can get back. You can get back. Amen. You can get back where God wants you to be. And maybe tonight everything's good at your house. Maybe tonight everything's good with you, and say, preacher, everything's good. But listen, I guarantee you, every one of us here tonight that are saved and serving God, we got room to move up. We got room to get a little closer. We need to have a burden for those who are lost and undone. Do you recognize this? Look up in here. Do you recognize that when Naomi brought Ruth back to Bethlehem, she got back in God's will? You know what that done? That brought redemption to Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitish woman. Listen, she was a Gentile, an idolatress. But brother, when Naomi got back in the will of God, it affected Ruth and brought her into a place of redemption. Listen, when we live like we ought to live, brother, it'll affect somebody's life. Listen, your sons and daughters and grandchildren, brother, listen, if some of us get back in the will of God like we're supposed to, it might be the very thing that brings them to a place of salvation. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. young people, old people, I don't care who you are. Listen, I'm telling you, I don't want to live in Moab. As the singers come tonight, I don't want to waste one more moment down in Moab by the will of God. Wonder why God ain't blessing me and wonder why God ain't moving in my life and wonder why my prayers ain't getting answered and wonder why things ain't moving. Hey, I want to get down to Bethlehem, Judah. I want to get where God's people are. I want to get where the bread is. I want to get where the blessing is. And tonight there may be something you need to pray about. There might be something that you need to bring to God and say, Lord, I went my own way. I trusted in my own devices. I made my own decisions. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me and restore me. And Lord, bless me and use me. Maybe tonight you want to come and just pray for this revival. Maybe you want to come and pray for your family. Maybe you need to come and repent about something. Maybe you want to come and just bring a burden and lay it at the feet of the Lord and say, God, I need some help. Maybe tonight you just need to make a decision and you don't want to make the decision on your own and you need God to give you wisdom and direction and discernment. Tonight, why don't you just come ask him for